Student athletes of color chasing the dream to play at the college level are faced with the harsh reality that most college towns are predominantly white cities like Reno. Finding a sense of belonging can be hard, but many find a trusting community in private areas, the locker room, and in some cases, it becomes a space to escape racism. KUNR's Stephanie Serrano has the story. As a note of disclosure, this story contains racist language.
If you're a person of color walking into a Reno restaurant, a coffee shop, or even a department store, the chances of you being the only person of color are pretty high. Those chances become magnified if you're Black. That's because only 2.7% of the people living in Reno are Black, according to the most recent census data. And for Lawson Hall, this experience is all too true.
Oh my God, it was crazy. When I first got to Reno, like on my visit when I came, I noticed immediately me and my mom went to a Denny's and it was just nothing but white people in there. And I wasn't used to that. I kind of noticed, I was like, okay, like this is going to be a little different.
You see, Hall came to Reno on a visit in 2015 and officially moved to Reno after being recruited by the University of Nevada football team.
I knew that most college towns were kind of in these predominantly white cities. I was kind of expecting that, but I just never seen it firsthand until I came on my visit. So I was like, wow, this is shocking a little bit, but I quickly got used to it.
UNR is predominantly white, and only 3.3% of the student body is Black. But as for the football team, staff say that more than two-thirds of the players are Black. Hall is a critical leader on the team and plays as an inside linebacker. He was recently named to the watch list of the Werfel Trophy. He's a graduate of the university with a Bachelor's of Science and is currently working on a Master's in Business Administration. He says he's one of three Black students in his graduate program.
I kind of use that as fuel. Obviously, you know, people look at, you know, Black men as, you know, they don't really look at them as hard workers. I don't know, like they don't expect much from them. I kind of use that as fuel to, you know, kind of be the top of being on my A game.
Hall says racial discrimination is nothing new inside the classroom or on the field.
I say they love us on the field, but they don't know who we are off the field. In the crowd, when we're playing games, there's racists, there's non-racists cheering you on. But when we get off the field, I'm like, I'm just a Black man and I'm really nothing. I'm not doing anything for them. It hurts, to be honest. I mean, it's just reality.
Hall loves the game and the fans, but he's been playing football for so long that he's learned how to identify which fans he needs to protect himself from.
I can tell when someone's racist and I kind of try to keep my distance. One of our coaches made a questionable call on fourth down and I heard a fan saying, get his Black ass off the field, get his Black ass out of here. And I heard that and I turned around and I was like, what did you say? Like, and I was just like, wow. And I just ignored it. But I just hear some of those remarks all the time, just like, there are definitely racists up there in those stands.
Hall says being an athlete has repressed his voice. As a football player, he's been taught to stay away from anything political and off social media until this year. After the nation's most recent protests calling out racial discrimination, systemic racism, and police brutality, Hall was asked by football staff to write a message showing support for Black Lives Matter. Instead of a statement, he decided to make a video exposing the racial injustices he and his teammates have faced.
When the crowd is gone and the cheering has stopped, this is my life.
Followed through a whole department store just trying to find patrons.
As a Black man, I've dealt with racism and police brutality. Enough is enough.
When I was 13, I was walking home from school and people in a truck drove past me yelling racial slurs and throwing rocks at me.
His video led to tough conversations between coaches and Nevada players, who for the first time realized some of their teammates are facing racial injustice every day.
It was just cool to hear our guys talk it out and be able to work through, you know, some of that discourse. But, you know, here's the thing, like sometimes, you know, life gets so busy that it takes something like this to be able to open up dialogue. And that's the beauty of everything happening right now.
That was Nevada defensive coordinator Coach Brian Ward.
People are afraid of what they don't know or don't have experience with. Those bridges are always built because of communication or a common purpose.
Ward says he's hurting for his players and for his hometown of Minneapolis. He remembers how beautiful and diverse his neighborhood was on his childhood bike rides down the very same street where a police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck for many minutes while Floyd repeatedly said he could not breathe. Both Ward and Hall say the best things coaches can do is listen and open dialogue so that people in positions of power, like coaches, can help players stand up for equity and what they believe in, not just at the college level, but professionally.
You know, our coaching staff and our whole organization has been real on top of the social injustice and stuff. Our owners donated money. Our head coach was out on the streets protesting with people.
That's Devin Gray, a Reno native and a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Looking back, he says his high school was pretty segregated. But it wasn't until he went to college to play for the Cincinnati Bearcats when he realized the color of his skin wasn't always welcome. Gray often took trips to Kentucky, which borders Cincinnati, to visit the local bowling alley. He says it was a total culture shock because he remembers white people staring him down just for being black. Now, Gray lives in Atlanta, Georgia, close to Brunswick, the city where Ahmaud Arbery was shot to death while on a jog, just 3 months before the killing of George Floyd. Three white men have been charged with Arbery's murder, according to multiple media outlets.
That city is like probably like an hour away from me, but Georgia is like different cultures. Atlanta's more cultured, I would say would be the word, but then you step out of Atlanta, I feel like it's more what people would say the South, like, and then that's where it's like, okay, I'm getting those looks I was getting when I was in Kentucky. People like that, like, they're still out there in those little cities and they don't see colored people every day. Of course, like, they're looking at you weird and like they're probably racist because that's the way they've grown up. Like, they don't have exposure of, they don't have friends that are colored, so they don't see like how we act. It's just uncomfortable for them.
Gray says that we're living in a world where black people are seen as a threat simply because of the color of their skin. It's in the same world that he will start to raise his newborn baby girl, Journey.
I gotta protect her, and I would hate for that to be her, where she's just looked at different and targeted just because somebody doesn't feel safe and that they thought she might have stole something when she's not doing nothing.
Gray plans on teaching his daughter her rights at a young age, but hopes that by the time she's his age, things will change. Stephanie Serrano, KUNR News.
The Mountain West has announced the postponement of all fall sports, including football contests and championship events, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. As a note of disclosure, the license to this station is owned by the Board of Regents for the Nevada System of Higher Education.